Guys, I hope you're listening, that each week you're hearing a story that is not identical to the one you heard before. And the evidence that is presented in the variety that you're listening to is that God can do a great work no matter what you're struggling with, no matter where you're stuck. Each one is very different, and I know that your story and your experience is different than the people sitting down the row from you. And I hope that you're encouraged to see that if God can do a work in their life, he can do a work in your life. I just want to catch everybody up on where we're at right now in this program, all right? Regeneration, just make sure everybody is clear on this. Regeneration is not a program that you do on Monday nights. It's not a curriculum that you go through for 10 weeks, or if you're an adult, much longer than that. Regeneration is the story that is written all throughout the entire Bible. And regeneration is what happens daily in the life of all true believers and followers of Jesus Christ. It is this work, regenerating, being made new, that God does in our lives, knowing that he created us one way, sin has caused defects and brokenness in our life, and now God wants to enter into our story if we will turn to him and yield our lives to him and create something new in our lives. That is regeneration, and it doesn't just happen once and then you're done. It happens every single day. We need to be made new because sin is present in our own hearts and in the world every single day. So let me recap where we've been. We started off a couple weeks ago after orientation talking about the letter H in the word healing. Letter H was help. We said we are broken and powerless to heal on our own, and we admit that we desperately need help. You remember we said brokenness is everywhere in the world, including my own life, that sin is the source of all brokenness. We looked at Adam and Eve in the garden and how they fell, and we are their children, and we have fallen away from God too, but that the start of healing is found from something outside of ourselves. If we are the problem, we cannot be our own solution. So the answer to our brokenness in our life is not a better version of ourselves or discovering who we really are or following our hearts. That is not the answer. Disney Channel might tell you that is the answer. That is not the answer. So we start by saying, help, I'm broken and powerless. And then last week we talked about the letter E, which said, all right, if we're saying we need help, where do we turn to for help? We entirely trust God, believing that a powerful and loving God exists. We turn our lives completely over to him. And we looked at one verse, three parts, an invitation, come to me. How Jesus said, don't come to a program or to a group of people or to some form of self-help, but man, come to me, the God who created you and loved you and died for you and has a plan for your life. Come to me, and here's the guest list who can come to him. You don't have to clean yourself up. You just have to be weary and carry heavy burdens. And if you're weary and you're burdened, then Jesus is inviting you to come to him with a promise, and the promise is this: I will give you rest. And we talked about how you have to come in faith, because he doesn't exactly always say how, he just says he will. And so trusting in his character and who he is, a God who willingly became a human and suffered and died on a cross, not because of anything he did, but to pay the penalty for our sins, to demonstrate love in such a way, he is the God who we can trust. And we can see the evidence, not just of his love on the cross, but of his power in all of creation. He's the God that can send tornadoes, that can make waves, that can make rain stop. He's the God that wakes you up every morning and puts breath in your lungs right now, every second. So he is the God that we can trust. And so I want to show you one other thing. This is a part of your booklet. It says stop. And I think we're actually going to edit this part in our curriculum, in our booklet, to say pause. But it really means the same thing. And it says healing's built on a foundation of faith in Jesus and his promises. Do not continue working through this curriculum until you truly believe and trust in the powerful, loving God revealed in the Bible. And here's why we say that, is the next steps that we're going to talk about involve going back through the memories of your life and really reviewing and evaluating all of your brokenness that you've experienced because of sin in this world and brokenness that has come out of the sin in your own heart. And it would not be wise or helpful for us to invite you to do that exercise and to take a moral inventory of your whole life if you didn't really believe that there was a God out there that loved you and was able to help you with all that junk. So I don't want to tell you guys, keep going, dig up all your junk, and then figure it out. I want to make sure that you are entirely trusting God. And so we're really saying stop or pause, and we want to encourage you, man, if you're not sure you can entirely trust God and you're ready to go, okay, I believe you're there and that you love me and that you're good. I don't exactly understand everything, but I want to enough that I'm going to trust you and I'm going to go forward and I'm going to turn to you for help when I need it. If you're at that point, great. If you're not, we want to encourage you to pause. And that's why we've got some leaders that are going to be down here in open group every week, and we'll answer any question or doubt that you have. But I just wanted to make that really clear. It's your choice and your option. You want to stay with your step groups, that's fine. But we're just issuing a warning that that might not be helpful for you. In fact, it probably won't be, because each step in this program, it builds on the one before. So you say, help, I can't do this. Entirely trust God. God can do this. And then we go on to the next one. But until you believe God can help you in your life, you ought to just stay there and figure that out. And then you can build on top of that. All right? It's up to you. But we want to let you know that offer is available, and we would love to help you entirely trust God and wrestle with that until you do. All right, let's talk about the letter A for just a minute, and then we'll get you up into your rooms. The letter A is this: assess the situation. And here's what we do when we assess the situation: is we courageously and thoroughly examine our lives and invite others to walk with us. And so I want to put a picture in your head as you go off into your rooms tonight. And the picture is from a Smithsonian magazine article about World War II. And so check this out. This is the cover of the article. It says there are still thousands of tons, all right? So not thousands of pounds, but thousands of tons. One ton is 2,000 pounds. So there's thousands of tons of unexploded bombs in Germany left over from World War II. So if you guys don't know history, you're too young, you haven't had history class yet, World War II happened more than 70, about 80 years ago over in Europe. And part of it was in Japan, but we're talking about Europe right now. And it was the world against the Germans. And so Americans and British and French were all dropping bombs on Germany trying to squash the Nazis. You're probably more familiar with Captain America and his interaction with the Nazis. So if you haven't taken history class, just think about that. But they're dropping all these bombs, like legit. Millions of tons of bombs were dropped over Nazi Germany during World War II. And 10% is the estimate of the millions of tons of bombs that were dropped failed to explode. So 2,000 tons of bombs are found still today in Nazi Germany every year, unexploded underground in that country. So here's the situation in Germany today: is anytime any sort of construction is happening, so they want to put in the German, you know, Taco Bell, or the German Raising Cane's, or build a German house, or whatever they want to do, German Starbucks, they have got to excavate the ground and dig out and make sure that there's no bombs there. Because if they go to put in, you know, a toilet, and they're putting a pipe down in the ground, they hit a buried bomb, it explodes. People still die today because these buried bombs are going off. And so every time one is found, an entire area is evacuated. So here's an example of an excavation that's happening, and they found a buried bomb. That's how big they were, being dropped out of those planes. People are evacuated. When the bombs go off, property is damaged, and people are even killed still today. This is a fascinating article that I came across, and here's why I share it with you tonight. As this is true for you, and it's true for me, is that everyone has buried bombs in their life. So I'm not saying that some warplanes have dropped bombs over your house back before your house was built, and there's legit, like, bombs underground. I'm talking metaphorically, all right, emotionally, spiritually, in your memories, in your past. There are things that happened in your life before that are still there. Just like the current situation in Germany, the events of our own past have the potential to inflict harm and mayhem in our present. You get that? How the events of that country's past, they pop up in the present, and there's chaos and there's destruction. And the same thing happens to us is there are events that happened in our past, but then somehow they keep popping up at different times in different ways and affecting our present. Our past produces things like you've learned about in your curriculum, resentments. We have fears that control our life because of things that happened in the past. There are broken relationships, painful broken relationships. We feel guilt. We have wounds. We have habits that we've built over time as a result of something that happened in the past. Personality traits and weaknesses. All of these things are produced from bombs that were dropped in our past. And so I want to talk to you tonight about how you can clear your life of the buried bombs that will cause destruction and pain for the rest of your life. And I'm going to show you how you've got to do the work of disarming these bombs, the sinful patterns, the unhealed hurts, the idols from your past. And so here's what I'm going to show you is that healthy people disarm buried bombs by doing three things. One, by digging deep and digging everywhere. Two, by bringing in a bomb squad to help. And three, they disarm buried bombs today before they build anything else. And before I go, I just, as a little preview, and I'm going to say this again at the end, every adult in this room and that's with you in your step groups, they are there because this is true. And the reason why this ministry exists is there are adults who come out of regeneration and they say, if only I would have had this when I was a teenager. Those bombs would not have stayed buried so long and caused so much destruction when they went off when I was 30 years old, 35 years old, 40 years old, and I was already married and I had kids, and all these bombs from when I was something that happened to me when I was 12 or 11 or 8 years old, or something that I did when I was 14 or when I was 18, those bombs, I didn't deal with them. I just tried to bury them and push them down, and I thought they would stay there and they'd go away, and all of a sudden they're going off when I'm 45 years old and they're destroying and wrecking my family. I wish I had somebody to help me dig up those buried bombs and disarm them when I was younger. That's what we're trying to help you do. That's what we're trying to help you do. So let's talk about digging deep and digging everywhere. Healthy people, which is what I hope you want to be, you disarm your buried bombs by digging deep and digging everywhere. Let me show you another image from this article. This is, you know, labeled Hidden Menace. And it talks about how when these bombs were dropped out of the planes, some of them didn't detonate on impact and they went underground. And it shows kind of how they go underground and then they get slowed down and they end up stuck underground. And the average depth of these bombs is 14 feet deep. And so any construction project they're doing, they have to excavate everywhere on the work site, all the way down to 14 feet underground. Here's a picture of an excavator in Germany digging on a work site with a little tent where they're being very careful to dig the last few feet down just little by little. But they have to go square foot by square foot, digging down to a depth of at least 14 feet. Usually they go anywhere from 12 to 20 feet to ensure that there's no buried bombs under the surface of whatever building that they are building. And so they have to dig deep and dig everywhere, every single square foot before they build. Bombs could be anywhere, so they dig everywhere. And I would say the same is true for us. That's why we give you this inventory and we give you a lot of different angles to look at it from, because we're trying to encourage you to look at your life from every angle and dig deep and dig everywhere. Let me show you what God's word says about this. In Psalm 139, verses 23 through 24, the psalmist says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. God, I entirely trust you." I'm saying help, all right, H-E. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to dig deep into my heart and my life and dig everywhere. Search me in a way that really I can't even search myself. You know, God knows you better than you know yourself. The Bible says he knows how many hairs you have on your head. That would take you a long time to count, and you'd probably lose count and have to start over. But God knows. He knows when you sleep and when you rise. He knows what you're going to say before you say it. He knows where you're going to go before you go there. And he knows what's in your heart. The Bible tells us that our hearts are prone to deceive us, but God is not deceived by our heart. And so the psalmist says, "Search me, God, know my heart. Test me, know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that I can't see, that you can that offends you, and lead me on the path of everlasting life. And so this is the theme verse for taking an inventory. And taking an inventory, as you've seen in your curriculum, is a long, hard process. And I want to encourage you, pray Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, and work through each category. I want to share with you, I've got my inventory right up here. And it's 15 pages, and I'm just going to put some slides up on the screen and show you what it's like. This was my resentment section, so I did it on my computer. It looks a little bit different than yours, but man, I went through and just thought, man, what are things that I still have bad feelings toward as an adult from my past? So I have resentment towards pornography, and then all of these names of people who introduced me to or exposed me to or talked about pornography. And so the cause of my resentment was each of these guys introduced me to this and et cetera. Then how did I respond to it? I felt confusion, conviction, disappointment, fear, self-righteousness, and pride. I became judgmental. So the nature of my response was this. Then I have other resentments for Craig and Jimmy and Johnny and Jeff. And then I had more pornography resentments related to other things. And so I just went through with God and I said, all right, God, search me and know me. Show me anything that is not of you, that you don't love about what's either happened to me or what I have done, and expose it. And I prayed and I prayed. And sometimes I had to talk to people to help jog some memories and work some stuff out. You can go on to the next slide. It shows my fears. This is like another page of my fears. It's not completely filled out. But I listed, all right, this is something I'm afraid of. Is any result that is less than an A, I decide that's failure. And I'm afraid of my weakness being exposed. And then I worked through, man, what caused that? How did I respond when those causes happened? What was the nature of that response? Are there any idols this is revealing? Then I went on, there's another category of harms to me, things that hurt me in my life. And I prayed, all right, God, search me, know me, take me back. Show me what bombs are buried beneath the surface. Then I went to harms by me, things I did to hurt other people. And I went little and big, big things and little things. And I said, God, show me anything that isn't honoring and holy and pleasing to you, and help me dig up these bombs and disarm them. Then we went to the next category, and I went through sexual sin, just ways that I did not honor God's plan for my sexuality in my life. And I had him search me and reveal those things, and I put them all out there. And then lastly, we went through recovery issues. And these are just things that brought me to regeneration and things that I was stuck in my life. I was tired of seeing repeated over and over again that I wanted to work on. And so I'm giving you a glimpse at these things. You guys are too embarrassed to hold up your phones and take pictures. You want to come look at my inventory. I've got all 15 pages of it right here, and you're welcome when we're done, especially if you're waiting to get picked up. Man, come look through it if that will help you work on yours and understand what an inventory looks like. But this is what it looked like for me to dig deep and dig everywhere. And so inventory is overwhelming. So what do you do after you kind of dig up all these bombs? You dig deep, you dig everywhere, and you go, okay, there's bomb here, bomb here, bomb here, bomb beer, bomb here. Not bomb beer. That might be on your list, and that's fine. It wasn't on mine. But God can deal with beer bombs. Here's what you do. Here's what you do if you want to be a healthy person. You bring in a bomb squad. You don't try to disarm that bomb alone. Squad is a word that recently, I think it's maybe on its way out, but certainly on Instagram, it became popular, especially with girls. Every picture, it seemed like we're at a concert, we're at the beach, and everywhere you are, you're with your hashtag squad, which I don't understand why, but squad became your word. Me and my squad at the concert, me and my squad going to homecoming, which is everything. That's how girls talk, I promise you. And so, like, you guys know what the word squad means. It means people that you are kind of sharing your life with. Here's a picture of some Germans in a bomb squad getting the bomb out, because here's what you need is more than one person. Number one, the bomb is too heavy for one person to get out alone. All right, so they've got to have somebody that's operating the machinery. They've got to have somebody that knows how to handle the bomb. Are there any chemical or mechanical elements of the bomb that need to be disarmed even before it moves? You need to know, have somebody that understands the soil content around the bomb, and if there's any radiation or anything leaking out of it, they've got to be able to test it. Then you need people to guide the thing once it's lifted and move it out. Then you need a place to take it, to secure it, and to effectively completely disarm it. And that all of those things take more than one person, because the bomb is too big and it's too powerful for one person to deal with. A squad is not actually originated by Instagram or teenage girls on Instagram. Squad is actually a military term, and here's the official definition of a squad: is a small number of soldiers, commonly 10 privates, a staff sergeant, and a corporal. It's the smallest military unit. And guys, I think that definition is appropriate for what you need if you want to be a healthy person, is you need a group of people who will fight with you and fight for you, and who will help you carry and unearth and disarm the buried bombs, the lies that you've believed way too long, the pain that you've carried alone way too long. You need to share that with other people. God's word calls followers of Jesus to bear one another's burdens. And so once you've taken an inventory, the step after that is confession. Sharing that inventory openly with others. That's what you're going to get to start to do tonight, right up in your rooms, and you're going to get to continue to do that next week, is to take this inventory and then open yourself up and share it with others. And let me show you what God's word says about confession. I'm just going to give you three verses. James 5:16 calls us to confess your sins, not just to God, but to each other, to your bomb squad, and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Step group leaders, listen. Everybody pay attention and remind them. Each time somebody shares something in your groups from their inventory, you should just stop and say a short prayer, asking God to intervene and bring healing into that brokenness. Because we're believing God's promise that his word says the prayers of righteous people are powerful and effective, and they produce wonderful results. Proverbs 28:13 calls us to, it says, people who conceal their sins and hide them and keep their bombs buried, they will not prosper. But if they confess and turn from them, they'll receive mercy. They won't get what they deserve. If they acknowledge what's there and humbly bring it before God and others, they receive mercy. Your job in these step groups with one another, as someone else is sharing, is to be to them the hands and feet and face of God in showing them love, grace, and mercy, and not judgment and condemnation, but pointing them back towards the forgiveness that God has for them. And then 1 John 1:7 says this: if we are living in the light as God is in the light, so if we're getting our bombs out from the darkness of being buried and bringing them into light, we have fellowship with one another. You can have true friendship with other people, knowing that you really know them and they really know you. And when you're fully known, then you're fully loved. That's what fellowship is. It's two people fully knowing each other and fully loving each other. And isn't that what we all want? And when we bring these things out, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So you're going to find some sin. You're going to find some idolatry when you dig up these bombs. And Jesus stands ready to forgive those sins and purify you from all unrighteousness. And lastly, this is what I'll close on, is healthy people disarm buried bombs today. Don't wait until you're older to do this. And I don't have to tell you guys this as much as I have to tell others, because you're already here working on it. Way to go. But I want to tell you how the article ends. It ends, don't put the picture up, with a story of this guy named Paul Dietrich, who is a German. And Paul is in Germany, and he had a house that he built, and he failed to do the adequate excavations that he needed to do. And he actually didn't build his house, but he moved into it, and he started to renovate his house. And as he's renovating his house, he didn't dig deep and dig everywhere. He just started his renovations. And he was doing it all himself with some help of some family members, and he worked on his house for 10 years building his dream house. And one day, Paul took his dog, and he went out for a walk, and he's probably half a mile away from his house, and he hears a noise that sounds like an explosion. And as he and his dog are walking and they're beginning to walk back towards the house, he sees smoke billowing up over the tree line. And it looks like it's coming from the vicinity of his house. And as he gets closer and closer, the more it looks like the smoke is coming from his house. And I don't have a picture of the fire and the smoke, but this is what he saw when he came around the corner. A buried bomb had gone off under the edge of his house and created a huge crater and destroyed all the work that he had done for 10 years. And so here's why I close with that story, is that you are young people in this room. You are building your life right now. You're forming relationships. You're forming your beliefs. You're establishing a reputation. You are building up a list of accomplishments. You're creating opportunities for yourself for the future. And the longer you are building those parts of your life without addressing the buried bombs, the more there is to be broken when the bombs go off in the future. The more he built, the more there was to be lost. And so us adults, we're sitting in here telling you guys, dig up your buried bombs today, because we've seen them go off in the lives of people who have built their lives without addressing the brokenness from their past. And when those bombs go off, there's so much more destruction. And so I know it's scary that digging up these bombs could cause you further harm or pain, but I promise you it's not like the pain that it could cause when those bombs go off in 10, 20 years. Psalm 95 verses 6 and 7 says, "Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he's our God. We're the people he watches over, the flock under his care. If only you would listen to his voice today." Today. Don't wait. Listen to God today. He's saying, "Let me search you. Let me know you. Let me show you every offensive way in you through this inventory. And let me bring healing into your life so you don't have to worry about these buried bombs." You guys can be free. If you continue in this process, you can be totally free to build your life without concern of your past catching up to you. And that is how God wants you to live. That's how we want you to live. People in regeneration would say, "I wish I knew this stuff when I was in high school." And now you know. So here's how you clear your life with buried bombs. You dig deep and dig everywhere. You bring in a bomb squad, and you do it today before you build. Assess the situation. Be courageous and thorough. Examine your life and invite others to walk with you. Let me pray, and I'm going to send you off to walk together. Lord, I thank you so much for just the guidance that your word gives us, for the love that you show us, the power that you've demonstrated that can give us the security to trust you and others to dig up these bombs. And I pray that you would guide and direct every heart in this room to address what needs to be addressed this week and next, so that they can begin to move towards hope and healing and the full life that you've created them for. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.